Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And I want to talk to you as we continue our study about the family. I want to talk to you about the family. Now, when I'm preaching tonight, I want you to keep this in mind. Certainly, there's many under the sound of my voice, you have children in your home. And some of you, your children's already grown up and they've gone out of the home. Now, they're still your children, but they've moved on. Maybe they have children of their own. And you're praying for them, or you're still praying that God would get a hold of their heart and do a work in their life. And don't you ever give up on that. Don't you ever give up on that. The devil will tell you to give up on it. You may become discouraged and want to give up on it, but don't ever give up on what God can do in answering prayer for your family. Don't ever give up on that. Now, I want to give you a little backdrop of what's happening here in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. This is kind of Moses' swan song, okay? This is almost his farewell. He's getting ready to address the children of Israel. They're getting ready to pass over into the promised land. They're going to become a strong nation. What Moses is going to tell them here is from God, and that is, if you're going to be a strong nation, you're going to have some strong families. Because no nation is any stronger than the families that make up that nation. And so he addresses some issues about the family, the responsibility that lies with the parents as the leaders of their children, and what they should pass down and pass on to the next generation. And so he tells them in verse number 1, he said, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you." So that's where it begins. And we're going to talk about a few things. The first thing I want you to remember is that God wants you and God wants me. He wants us to be a model. He wants us to model to our children how we are to serve God. And I want you to write that down in your Bible. God wants you to be a model. You say, "Well, I think I could be a model." Well, maybe you could be a hand model. But that's not the kind of model I'm talking about. I'm talking about someone that would imitate you, a role model. All right? Now, there's a lot of people, and you may remember some time back, there were some athletes who were saying, "Well, I don't want to be a role model." Well, guess what? As an adult, you really don't get to choose your role model. You're either a positive one or you're a negative one. You're a role model. Somebody's looking at your life. Someone's looking at my life. There's people watching us, especially as a Christian. And parents, your children are watching you. Our grandchildren are watching us. The little children that come on the bus route in the bus ministry, the children that are part of this ministry, this church here, they're watching our lives. And they want to see something that's real. They want to see something that is worth sacrificing for. There's just some people looking for something that has some realness to it. I'm not talking about this emotionalism and this stuff that's just that's sweeping our churches to where it's half-heartedness and it's all a show. Now, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about something that has some substance, some realness to it. And so Moses is talking to the children of Israel, and he commanded them, and he said, "This is what God is to teach you." Why? He said, "I want you to know some things. And I don't want you to know some things just so you can know them, but I want you to know some things so you can practice them." I've said it many times from this pulpit. God's not really interested in how much you know. God wants to know, what are you going to do with what you know? There's a lot of people running around trying to tell everyone how much they know, and you know, they're just always talking about their knowledge. We seem to live in a knowledge society where everyone's just placing a lot of emphasis on how much they know. Can I tell you, Paul said, "Knowledge puffeth up." See, it's not just enough to know. We need to act on what we know. We need to practice and put into practice what we know. And we need to pass on what we know. Notice what he said here. He said, "I want to talk to you about your living." And as a model, he said, you're to live a certain way. Why? People are watching. Your children are watching. Your grandchildren are watching. Your Sunday school class is watching. The children that ride the bus in are watching. Your neighbors are watching. But more importantly, God is watching. And he said here in verse number 1, he said, "To teach you that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it." Now he said, now you're getting ready to cross over Jordan. and you're getting ready to inherit the land that God's promised you, the promised land. And he said, when you get there, he said, there's some things that you need to understand. There's some conduct, there's some character, there's some principles, there's some statutes that God wants you to carry out when you get there. See, God just doesn't set up shop and say, well, everybody just do what you choose to do. Everybody just do what you see is fit and what's right in your own eyes. There's just some parameters. There's some guidelines that God expects to be followed. And so he's laying that down here. And then he said in verse number 2, watch it. There's three things that he tells them about their living. And I want you to write them down. He said, and I want you to do these things because there's people watching you. In particular, your children. Number one, he said, I want you to live a life that has reverence in it. Look here what he said in verse number 2. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. Now that word fear means reverence. It's a reverential awe. He said, I want you to fear God. He said, God's given you some commandments. God's done some things in your life that you might have a reverence to God. Now I can teach my children a lot of things. You can teach your children a lot of things. But if we fail to teach our children to reverence God, we've missed the mark, brethren. We've missed the mark. They could be Rhodes Scholars. They could attain great achievement, make much money. But if we do not teach our children to fear God, to reverence the Lord, we have missed the mark. And so he said, when you pass over into this new land, he said, I want you to live a life that is reverential. I want you to reverence God, and I want you to teach your children to reverence the Lord. Teach them the fear of the Lord. Then he said this in verse number 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. Then he said, not only should there be reverence in your living, but there ought to be righteousness in your living. He said in verse number 2, and his to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son. He said, I want you to live a righteous life. I want you to do the right thing. Brethren, every day we have decisions, we have choices. We can either choose to do right or we can choose to do wrong. The choice is yours, the choice is mine. And we're gonna face these choices every day. And our children are watching us. They're watching what we select as our programming. They're watching what we select to listen to. They're watching what we're investing in. They're seeing if our Bibles are being read. They're hearing if we're spending time in prayer. I'm telling you, the next generation is watching. They're looking to us. And that's exactly what Moses is telling the children of Israel here. He's speaking, I believe, here to the parents, to the adults, and he's saying, hey, it's gonna mean something when you get over in the new land and you're surrounded by the enemy nations. It's gonna mean something that you teach your children to fear God, the one true and living God. It's gonna mean something that you live right, that you do what is right. Not just some of the time. Not just when it's convenient, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But live right. So, preacher, I can't live right. If you're saved, you have an assistant to aid you in right living. The Holy Spirit of God. The indwelling Holy Spirit will help us. He is our aid. Christ will live his life through me, through you, if we will die to self and allow him to live through us. And so, reverence. Teach your children to fear the Lord. Say, preacher, how do you do that? Well, there's a number of ways. Humble yourself in the presence of God. Have the spirit of humility. Obedience, right? Reverence. Teach your children to obey God. Show them by you obeying him. I show my children by obeying the Lord, doing the right thing, reverence, righteousness. Now look, if you would, in verse number 2, the latter part. He said, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. What's he saying? He said, not only is there, as far as in your living, is there the reverential life and the righteous life, but there's a rewarded life here. Notice what he said. He said that thy days may be prolonged. Say, how can that happen, preacher? Well, you know, right living is good living. Did you know? Now, I'm not saying this ought to be the goal. As a matter of fact, I'm stunned at the low expectations we have for our young people these days. I talk to parents all the time, and I hear things like this. Well, you know, Junior's not this and that, but at least he's not on crack cocaine. Well, if that's the highest expectations you have for your children, my goodness. Now, I'm glad he's not on crack cocaine, but set the bar higher than that. Amen. Now, with that said, righteous and reverential living will go a long way in a rewarded life. I'm going to say that again. Reverential and righteous living will go a long way in a long life. You realize that if we could just get America, if we could just sober up America, the billions of dollars that it would save our country. Listen, I'm just talking about alcohol. There ought not be any person sitting under the sound of my voice that names the name of Christ that messes with that stuff. Amen. Alcohol. Well, you know, I'm going to take a little social drink every now and then. Listen, you ought to stay away from that stuff. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. If we could just sober up America. America's drunk. Everybody's got to be on something. Got to pop a pill or snort a line or smoke a joint or drink some booze. Everybody's got to have something mind-altering. And it's spilled over into our churches. And here God is telling the children of Israel, listen, if you will live a life of reverence and righteousness, your life will be rewarded for it. Prolonged days. But not only just your life, he said your land. Look here what he said in verse number 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. This is not just empty words. He's saying do this. I ask you a question. You fear the Lord? You have a reverence for the Lord? Is there a righteousness about your life? Now, I'm not talking about positional righteousness. You know if you're saved, you're in Christ, you're saved, you're going to heaven, you're righteous. You have a righteous standing before the Lord. I'm talking about practical righteousness. Practicing what is right, doing the right thing. Over and again, this is what Moses is saying. He's saying, hear it to do it. Observe it, do it. He said here in verse number 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Very interested in this next statement, that it may be well with thee. In other words, you're going to be rewarded personally. But watch this next statement. And that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. God will prosper your land. God will bless your land if you'll do what's right, if you'll honor him, if you'll reverence him. Brethren, our land certainly needs to turn back to God, doesn't she? Amen. It does. So he said, I want to talk to you about your living. And I want you to remember, when you think about your living, I want you to think about you're a model. You're a role model. You say, I don't want to be a model. Doesn't matter what you want to be. There's people going to be watching. Your children, your offspring, your grandchildren, the children that are part of your expanded family and extended family right on into your church family. They're watching us. They're watching us. And these folks just going through the motions and play in church and got a little bit of religion, it's a terrible thing. And it's done much harm for the cause of Christ. And I pray that there would not be anyone that would be thinking about that or even be in that position here tonight. If you are, why don't you come and get that right with the Lord and get that matter settled. Get it settled. Going through the motions is not where it's at. And so he said, in your living, remember you're a model. Now notice the next thing he said. He said, I want to talk to you about your love. In verse number 4, he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Look at verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Now we're going to stop right there just for a moment. He said, now when it comes to your living, he said, you're a model. People watch the way you live. And they want to emulate that. Every young boy wants to emulate his father. Every young girl wants to be like her mother. That's just as natural as can be. And so the way we live has a major impact on our children and our young people, the next generation. So you keep that in mind. I've said this many times before. There are times in my life, there have been, there are, and there will be, that when I go to make a decision, I'm thinking about people that it's going to impact. And you should too. It impacts people. The things that I do, I'm a pastor of a church. You're a Christian. You're a member of a church. You're a leader in the community. You're part of something that's big, brethren. When you're a Christian, you're in the church. You're part of God's plan and God's program. And what you do and how you live, it impacts other people. And so when we make decisions, we ought to make decisions with that in mind. Don't be selfish now. Well, I'm going to do this, and it doesn't matter who is affected by it and how they're impacted by it. I'm going to do it because I want to do it. That's selfish. It's selfish. You ought to think that through and ask God to help you to make the right choice and the right decision, because someone may just follow in the steps that you are following, that you're walking in. So he said, in your living. Now he said, in your love, or in your loving, he said, you ought to love the Lord thy God. And he said, you're a mirror. Now listen carefully. He said, when it comes to living, you're a model. People watch and they kind of emulate, they imitate. He said, but now in your loving, you're like a mirror. Now what does that mean? Look what he said here. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And he said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart, and with all of thy mind, and with all of thy might. I tell you, there's a fervency about that phrase, isn't there? There's just something fervent and faithful about that. What is he saying? He said, you know, that when it comes to this thing of loving God, you ought to be all in. I read something by G. Campbell Morgan, a great expositor, and this is what G. Campbell Morgan said. He said that half-heartedness is the greatest blasphemy. Now think about that for a moment. We're living in a day when Christians, and I'm not, listen, I'm just shooting straight here, all right? When so many people are just half in when it comes to things for God and things for church, but now you get them at a ball game, you get them at some secular event, but I'm going to tell you right now, they're all in. They're all in. But you get something going on for God down at the church and you can't hardly drag them down there. Now what's going on? Well, there's a lot of things that are going on that shouldn't be, but I think I can put my finger on one thing in particular. We've left our first love. We've got this, we're not neither hot nor cold. We've got this lukewarmness about us. To where we just have, well, oh well, you know, when it comes to the church, well, oh well. You know, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Church, you know, it's maybe, maybe not. I can take it or leave it. I've told you that story about the time that Brother David and I were on a job site and we were listening to some good, strong, straight, spirit-filled preaching. And there was a fellow there, I can't remember, said, what do you think about that preaching? He said, well, I can take it or leave it. You know what? A man that could say he can take or leave spirit-filled preaching, there's something wrong in his heart. Amen. And if you're that way, there's something wrong in your heart. Amen. If you don't have a hungering and a thirsting for some spirit-filled preaching, if you don't have a hungering and a thirsting for the truth of this book, for righteousness, there's something not right in your heart. And here, he says, you're getting ready to go over into the land, and there's going to be a lot of false gods over there. And you need to live in a way in front of them that it's going to be a good role model to them and to your own children, your children's children, your sons, and your son's sons, and those around you. But he said, you ought to love the Lord too. You ought to love him with all your being. Listen, with all your might. He said three times in verse number 5, underline them, with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. You ought to love God with all that's within you. I learned some things from this. I get to choose who I love. I get to choose how strong I love them. I hear people, and I cancel quite often, and I hear this a lot of times. Well, I just don't love her anymore. Well, won't you choose to love her? You say, well, I just can't help it. I love old so-and-so instead of my husband. That's not true. God is saying, Israel, I want you to make a choice. I want you to make a choice on how you live. You have a choice on how you live? Amen. Come on, brethren. You have a choice on how you live? We have a choice on how we live. You can either choose to live right or choose to live wrong. We have a choice. Now we have a choice on how we love, too. Amen. He said right here, hear, O Israel. In verse number 4, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord. He didn't say, you know, some things need to happen and all these things, you know, and I just choose to love the Lord. Choose to love him. Love him back. He loves you. Love him back. Look at what he's done in your life. Look at how he's changed your life. Look at how he set you up. He's sending you to a new land. He's provided the resources. Just love him back is what Moses is saying. Choose to love him for his involvement in your life. We always try to make it to be something that is with outside of our reach or our realm or our responsibility, right? Well, you know, I just can't help it. I just don't love the Lord like I should. Well, now, you can't help that. You can't help that. Well, I just don't have a bird like I should. Well, you can't help that. You can't help that. And so he said, love. Now, there's two things that we ought to teach our children about God that I see in this verse. Number one, that God is real. Look at verse number 4. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You ought to teach your children. And one of the things we do here at Fellowship Baptist Church is we teach the young people about the reality of God. God is real, brethren. Amen. This is real to me. I don't want to get to the place where I'm just going through the motions. I want to be passionate. I want to stay focused. I want to have some direction about me. I don't want to lose my burden. I don't want to lose my vision, my passion. It can happen. But I don't want to lose it, and I pray to God that you're with me. You don't want to lose that. You want to stay engaged. You want to stay focused. We want to teach our children, our grandchildren, the reality of God. Then number 2, the responsibility. It's not enough just to teach people God is real. It's not enough just for us to bring children in here, or whether it be in your home, whether it be in your Sunday school classroom, whether it be in this church, and say, well, guess what, children? God is real. It doesn't end there, brethren. It doesn't end there. God is real, and you have a responsibility to him. You have sinned against him, and you have a responsibility to come to him on his terms and get that matter settled. That's what we want to teach children. And that's essentially what's being said here. Love the Lord. The Lord our God is one Lord. And love him with all that's within you. You ought to be all in. Let me ask you a question. What are you passionate about? There's two quick ways you can answer that question if you don't know. Whatever you spend your time and your money on or with is what you're passionate about. Someone said our calendar and our checkbook tell our passion. And I'm inclined to believe it, brethren. What are we passionate about? What are we passionate about? We ought to love the Lord fervently, faithfully, with all that's within us. We ought to teach our children to love the Lord. Say, preacher, how do you teach somebody to love God? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You love the Lord, do what he says. Right? Amen. Right, brethren? Amen. So you're raising your tots. Little things running around, and as they, you know, they're coming up, they keep running to you and telling you, I love you, Daddy. And they grab you around the knees. Man, that's great. Amen. I remember those days. And you keep instructing them and telling them what to do, and they keep defying it and going against it, but they continue to run up and grab you around the legs and say, I love you, Daddy. And sooner or later, you're gonna wonder, I don't know. I don't know if you love me or not. Amen. You're not doing anything I said to do. You sure you know what love is? You're going to continue to defy my instruction, to disobey, deliberately disobey my word, and then continue to tell me you love me? No. No. When our children see us in the Word, when our children see us in obedience to God's way, God's Word, God's will, that's teaching them to love God as we love God. It's a mirror. They're looking to us. I don't know how many of you remember when you were a child, you got inoculated. And I didn't know what was going on back then. I didn't understand inoculation. I've learned some things about it since, and I have some very mixed feelings about it. I really do. I know this. I know that inoculation is when they take a form of toxic, could be disease, particularly the disease that maybe they're inoculating you against, and they put a little bit of it into your system to build up a resistance against that particular disease. Right? Right? You know that. I'm afraid that if we're not careful, that's going to continue to happen. It's began to happen in our churches, and it's going to continue to happen where we teach young people God is a part-time thing. We teach children that, you know, God is just something that you just kind of run to Him in crisis, and you kind of pull out the God card when you need something in life. And we're seeing a generation that appears to have been inoculated to the things of God. And there is almost a resistance to where, as they grow older and they get out on their own, you go to talk to them and they just tell you, I don't want to talk about religion, God, church. I want nothing to do with that. Well, what happened? Didn't you grow up in church? Well, yeah. Seen all I needed to see growing up in it. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. And so we have to be really cautious not to play around with this. This is serious business. You can't come to church, now listen to me, on Sunday and shout amen, and then the rest of the week cuss like a sailor. You're inoculating your children. Right. Hear me, Dad. You're inoculating your children. Can't come to church and open up your Bible and sit up all pious and, you know, throw your hand up to God and sing in the choir and then go home and watch all kinds of filth and pornography and think that's going to be okay and that's not going to come back to get you. You're inoculating your children. And I think that our inconsistencies are catching up with us as a whole. And we didn't understand that when God says that choices and decisions have consequences, that's what God means. And our sins will find us out in our children. And so here Moses is telling the children of Israel, he said, I want you to pay attention to your living because you are a model. And your children, your sons' sons, they're watching your life. You say, well, preacher, that puts pressure on me. I'm not perfect. Neither are your children. You don't get concerned about perfection. You get concerned about what's right. Don't use that. Well, you know, I'm not perfect. Well, we know that. You don't have to tell us that. We just want to know if you want to do right. Amen? Amen. Do right. Do right. You know what's right. Just do right. Young people, that goes for you too. You say, well, my dad didn't do right. Well, that gives you no excuse to do wrong. Amen. Right? Amen. Well, my friends are doing wrong. Well, you get away from them. Right. Do right. Amen. Do the right thing. You're going to answer to God for you, not your friends. And so he said, in your living, you're a model. He said, in your loving, in your the way you love now, he said, you're a mirror. People look at you. They want to see how you love God. Do you love God? Is it all just talk? Is it just lip service? Or is there a real, genuine love in your relationship with God? They're looking to me. They want to know. There's a generation behind us that wants to know, is this thing with God, Jesus, salvation, forgiveness, mercy, grace, is there something to it? Or is it just a big show? Is it just a crutch? We want people to know that God is real. There's a reality to God and that man has a responsibility to Him. And we need to live our lives as such. And then finally, he said, not only in the way that we live, are we a model, in the way that we love, he said, you're a mirror. He said, but now learning, you're a mentor. You're a mentor. Notice what he said in verse number 6. These words which I commanded this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach. I want you to underline that. Teach. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. And he goes on and he begins to give instruction. But he said, I want you to take these things and I want you to teach them to your children. I want you to learn, and then I want you to take what you've learned and teach them to your children. And I'm going to say something that's going to shock some of you. And I don't say it to be a shock factor. I say it because it's the truth. The school is not God's way to educate your children. It's not the school's place. Not first and foremost. It's not even the church's place. Not first and foremost. It's not some Christian school. Well, we're gonna drop our kids off at Christian school and everything's gonna turn out okay. Well, it may, but it may not. So it's not the Christian school, it's not the Christian daycare, or it's not the church. I'm telling you, the home is where it's at. You're your children's teacher. Your children should be learning some very important things, some principles, some foundations for life in the home. And we've quit teaching them, and it shows. You know, there's this thing going around now, it seems, I think on social media, you know, you've never gone around in a circle on the other end of a belt, and it shows. Right? I mean, so there's a lot of little things that they keep posting. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, and these things keep coming up, and it says, well, you've never done this. And pretty much what it's saying is you haven't had a good old-fashioned whipping. We call it a whooping, but, you know, whatever. You haven't had this or that, and it shows. Because of the arrogancy and the defiance and the rebellion that's bred in the heart of a lot of this generation today. And so there's some things going on, and it shows. We've quit teaching our children some fundamental principles of life. Dad, Mom, it is your responsibility to teach your children manners. You don't drop them off at the school and hope that they'll come home saying, thank you, you're welcome, yes sir, no ma'am. Say amen with me now. And we ought to be ashamed of ourselves when our children get up to age and they're still saying, yep, nope. God have mercy. God have mercy. Their body language is negative. They mope and drag around. Teach your children to sit up straight. Stand up when an elder walks in the room. Look somebody in the eye and say hello. Not hang their head and mumble or stay on their phone. Hey, that's disrespectful. Teach your children some manners. Well, I took them down there to the XYZ Christian daycare and they couldn't get it done. Well, they didn't have a whole lot to work with, obviously. Brethren, I'm telling you, it is our place as parents to teach our children. I'm not being mean here. I'm being straight. I believe I'm talking to a group of people that understand that as parents, we have a responsibility to instill and to train our children to fear God, to live right, and to learn some fundamental principles about life. It doesn't hurt you to stand up when an elder walks in the room, look them in the eye and say, how are you doing, sir? Amen. My name is such and such. It's good to meet you. Folks come into the house of God and lop back in a chair, lay back. Hey, listen, it's obviously you've never had any training. Sit up straight. Act like you've got some training. And apply the training that you did receive to your life. It'll help you in your life. I'm not saying that to embarrass you, to hurt you. I'm saying it, God knows my heart, to help you. To help you. No one out in the workplace gonna wanna bring you on to employment. You go walking in, mumbling, and can't understand a word you're saying. And excuse me, sir, I just got a text. I need to check this. No one gonna wanna bring you on the payroll. It's our place as parents to teach our young people these fundamental principles. These things that God has placed these bundles of eternity into our watch care. And we're to train them and to teach them. There's a right way and a wrong way. There's an ethical way to go about life. Have some mannerism. Have some respect for authority. I had someone come to me a few weeks back and said that they spoke with a young man and about doing something. He said, "Well, you're not my daddy." And when he told me that, the first thing that came to my mind, he better thank God I'm not his daddy. You ought to teach your children to respect authority. And when they're told by someone in authority and in leadership to do something, get to it. Amen? But you know what we do? We want to run down to the school and bless out the teacher because they've mistreated our little boy. We want to talk about the preacher. He's mean. He must have had a bad day. No, it's not none of that, brethren. It's none of the above. It's right here. Look at it again. "These words which I commanded this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Teach your children to fear God, to do right, to have some manners, to show some respect. Be obedient. Follow instructions. I could say much more, but I'm going to close it right there. You know, I recall I worked with a group of young people down in Charlottesville while I was pastoring here, before I became full-time. And I tell you, it was really a trying time for me, a very trying time. Bunch of young kids, basically, and had cell phones, and had cell phone in one pocket and a pack of cigarettes in the other. And between the two of them, they couldn't hardly get a half a day's work done. And they didn't like to work with me. I don't go for that stuff. You come to work, you're getting paid, get the job done. Amen. Put that stuff up and get that whatever. Amen. And let's get this job done. We're getting paid to do a job here. But I remember when we would roll up to a job site, it was my responsibility on occasion to tell them, "This is what you do." And I like to get a game plan together. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I don't like when everybody starts doing that which is right in his own eyes. It never turns out right. And so I like to get a game plan together and say, "This is what I want you to do, and this is what I want you to do, and this is what I want you to do, and this is what I want you to do." And I found out later, you've even got to tell people when you get through, you need to come and help us. I mean, they'd get through, and I'd be looking around for them. Where'd he go? Well, he thought, "Well, I've done what you said." Oh, okay. So anyway, I'm serious. This is what we've come to, brethren. This is what we've come to. Those of you who are hiring people and working people, you know what I'm saying is so. And so it would get to where when we would roll up on the job site, I'd say, "Now listen, guys, this is the instructions for the day." And I would tell them the instructions. Now, I don't like repeating myself. I don't like to keep having to tell people to do the same thing over and over. So these guys wouldn't even be listening to me. So I'd give them the instructions, and they would just go out and just, I mean, I'd say, "Oh, whoa, what are you doing, Bob? Bob, what are you doing?" "Well, I'm doing this." I said, "Well, that's not what I asked you to do." "Well, I thought that's what you said." "How could you think that's what I said? How could you think that's what I said? That's not even close to what I said." I'm going to tell you how he thought that's what I said. Because he was concerned about bumming a cigarette off his coworker, or somebody then shot him a text or a picture on Instagram. That's what he was concerned about that day. And so I began to have to tell him. I told my children this. They'll stand and testify. I'd always tell them, "Listen, don't you talk when I'm giving you instructions. Because you can't follow my instructions if you don't hear them. And I expect you to follow my instructions." And so I began to have to tell these guys this. And it just boggled my mind, is what I'm trying to say. People are not receiving training, the simplest forms of training, of listening to instructions. You can't follow instructions if you don't listen to the instructions. Clear your mind and hear the instructions, and then go and put to practice what you've been told to do. Carry out the instructions. can't carry it out today. You know why? We've gotten away from instructing young people, teaching them simple things. And brethren, we're going to have to get back to that in our homes, in our churches. One of the things that we are committed to do here is to help train your children. Now, I said help train your children to serve God with their life. I'm committed to that as your pastor. We're committed to that as a church. But now, don't you think that's going to replace the training that God is going to hold you responsible for in the home? And I don't think you are. Many of you are training your sons and your daughters, and I praise God for that, to serve the Lord with their life, whether it be a doctor, whether it be a nurse, whether it be in the field of mechanics, regardless of what, it doesn't have to be in full-time Christian service. You ought to serve God with your life wherever God has you. All right? So let's stand to our feet. Number one, living. Living. You're a model. You're a model. Be a good, positive role model. Live in a way that people would want to imitate your life. That people look to you and say, I'm going to shoot for that right there. I want to be this. I want to be that. I want to live like that. Number two, love. Love the Lord with all of your heart. Have a passion about you. Don't be a, I can take it or leave it kind of Christian. Don't be one that inoculates people. This half-hearted, neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm kind of Christian. That's not what you want to mirror. Mirror a fire, a passion, something that you're all in. Brethren, we're all into this, right? You got to get all in. You're all in. We're Christians. We represent Jesus Christ here on this earth. Let us represent Him well. Especially in our homes. And then number three, in our learning, be a mentor. Take training, whether you learned it as a child or as you grew older, you learned some things from good people that God put in your life. Maybe it was in a local church. Maybe it was at a place where you work, and God put you with someone. That's what happened with me. That's what happened with me. God put me with a man that, and this wouldn't go today now, but God put me on a job with a man that if I didn't do my job, I'm going to tell you exactly what he'd do. I'd come walking in, you know, getting ready to tell him, yep, I'm through, and he would go and about knock me down. You say, well, what in the world did he do that for? It got my attention. He says, you're not even close to through. And he'd get me about right here. I'd come walking in, bam! I mean, he'd get me, and I'd say, whoa, man. He said, get back there and get that can clean. That can ain't clean. Well, it is. No, it ain't clean. Get on back there and clean that can. So I'm going to think, I'm going to try that at home, preacher. Well, don't try this at home. Amen. Amen. Don't try this at home. Take some training and instill it and be a mentor to a young person. Invest in their life. All right? Let's bow our heads. Brethren, Satan's got some big guns.